Read through today's scripture passage with me. You can read silently as I read out loud, but we're reading today from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, the account of that first Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And as this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, but for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is God's word to us today. So it's always good to come, to be with you, to worship with you, and it's a special honor and privilege to be able to preach this morning and to give Al a break after a busy number of days at assembly. But some of you know that I have to make my way from St. Thomas, and on my way from St. Thomas, I encountered three significant areas of construction. Thankfully, no slowdowns today. I have a feeling that some of you on your way here today encountered some areas of construction as well, and that was even before you encountered the Forest City Road Races, right? Challenging day to get downtown. But all that construction signifies an attempt to make things better. Improvements, unfortunately, come with some inconvenience. But even these road races today, while it's not construction, are an attempt to make this city a better place. But it's a hassle. I suspect you and I have all had moments in our lives where we have longed for something better. But without the inconvenience or the change. God, help me to lose weight, but I don't want to change my diet or exercise. We want something better, but we don't want to do anything about it. Today, the day of Pentecost, is all about something better. God had shown up in flesh and blood in Bethlehem, lived among us, died on a cross, and rose from the grave. And through it all, a small band of followers watched and wondered at what God was doing. And their Lord, Jesus Christ, gave them strange instructions as he was preparing to leave them and to go back into heaven. He said to them, go into Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the Spirit of power to come. God had been there in front of them. God himself laid down his life to forgive them. What could be better? Well, on the day of Pentecost, they were amazed. Because God showed up again, unseen but powerful. God showed up and changed them in ways they would never have imagined. And more than that, God began to turn the world around them upside down. And he did it all not by standing in front of them or beside them, but by coming and filling their very beings. God came by his Spirit. We're told that there were things like tongues of fire. And you know, we are drawn to fire. Earlier this week, there was news out of Italy of a kind of fire, an eruption at Mount Etna, a very active volcano, but a very explosive volcano. Experts tell us that there are two kinds of volcanoes. There are those explosive ones like Mount Etna, and then there are the more gentle ones like Mount Kilauea in Hawaii. The ones that just quietly keep flowing with lava. Both of them change the landscape around them, but one does it suddenly, and the other just keeps chipping away at it. Pentecost was like Mount Etna. Boom! The Spirit of God, people filled with that Spirit, speaking on behalf of God. And it happened because they listened to Jesus. Those disciples did what Jesus said. They went to Jerusalem. They stayed there. They were meeting together in one place. They were praying together. They dealt with some administrative matters as well along the way. We're told that there was a leadership issue that had to be dealt with. Judas was not one of them anymore. And they chose someone to take his place. But they waited, and they didn't really know what they were waiting for. But what's significant, and the book of Acts tells us this, is that they were all together. Together is so important. Not just physically together, but they were waiting for the same mysterious appearance of God. They were together in one place, but they were also together in following what Jesus had commanded. They weren't just following a whim of Peter or an idea of John's. They were listening to what their Lord had told them. And then out of the blue, the Spirit came. Not just any Spirit, not just a good feeling, not just some kind of sense of unity. It was the living Spirit of God. The living Spirit who not only enters those who love Him, but who leads those who are willing. And it led them. He, the Holy Spirit, led them out into their neighborhood. That's a big deal when you found a safe place, when you found a good group of people with common ground, when things are quieting down from all of the fear that you lived with before. But God didn't plan to leave them in that safe place. God, by His Spirit, was going to turn their lives upside down. They didn't stay in that room. They went outside the doors with the Spirit fully in charge of their mouths and their tongues, saying words they didn't fully understand. But God knew what God was doing. And that day, a change happened in Jerusalem. People have always lived in communities, in neighborhoods. We gather together for safety. We gather together to cooperate, to find a living, to help each other out. I don't know how many of you have ever visited the fortress of Louisburg in Nova Scotia. Fascinating place. This reconstruction of an old French fortress. But not just fortifications, a whole community that had been inside those walls. And if you walk the back streets of Louisburg, you will encounter a little tiny building with a little tiny museum inside of it dedicated to the Congregation of Notre Dame. The Congregation of Notre Dame was technically a group of sisters, women who had dedicated their lives to the service of God, but they weren't nuns per se, they weren't cloistered, they weren't committed to staying behind closed doors. They were a non-cloistered group of sisters, and they came to the fortress of Louisburg, and they started doing what they did best, which was educating. And who they educated was significant. You see, men got an education, could read and write. Typically, at the time, if a woman got married, you would see on the marriage certificate the signature of the man and the X of the woman. And the sisters of the Congregation of Notre Dame started educating women. And not just women, girls. And they went beyond that. They started caring for people who were just out on the streets who had no one else to care for them. When inside the walls of that fortified city, illness broke out and fear ran rampant, the sisters of Notre Dame would go out into the streets and find the sick who had no one else to care for them, and they would care for them. And what's significant about this little group of women dedicated to God was that that fortress of Louisburg noticed the change that came over their community. The crime rate went down. Education went up. Participation in worship began to grow because people saw God at work in these women who cared for those that no one else cared for. When God's Spirit fills God's people, God sends us where no one else will go. And we're part of a neighborhood, a community. My wife, Ann, and I, as many of you know, are running a home-based ministry called The Living Room. It's all about building relationships with people around us and then inviting them to learn what it means to follow Jesus. But part of our education in this process has been learning to understand our neighborhood at a deeper level. You see, as we've been extending invitations, as we've been talking to our neighbors, we've found things out that we never knew before. Like that, if we invite this neighbor to our community barbecue, then that neighbor won't come. Or you're in conversation at the barbecue, and this neighbor says, "You see that person over there? They never talk to me." And you go over and talk to that neighbor, and they say, "Do you see that one over there? They never talk to me." And it becomes a chance for us to introduce them. So they start talking. And what's happening in our neighborhood today? First Baptist's neighborhood. The community has gathered outside our doors. What's the implication for us? When God's Spirit fills us, we can't just stay in the safe place, in the safe community. I wonder what a future Pentecost Sunday would look like if, instead of traditional gatherings, First Baptist said, "Hey, let's join the neighborhood. Let's be out there. Let's be God's presence on the streets." Sometimes that doesn't sit well with us because we've done what we've done for so long that we're used to it. And the apostles had done what they had done for so long that they were used to it. They were used to temple worship and going to synagogue and hearing rabbis teach and then doing their daily life, fishing, tax collecting, whatever it was that they did. But God was asking them to bring the two together and change it altogether. To let their worship carry them out into the streets and continue on the streets. To let their words not come from what they wanted, but from what God wanted. To even make fools of themselves in front of their neighbors. We spend so much time trying to have a good reputation that perhaps we hold back what God would have us say and do, lest it ruffle feathers. As God turned the apostles upside down, he also turned the neighborhood upside down. People noticed these strange folk who were talking in ways that they could understand, who were out there for them. And while they couldn't understand what the point was and made up their own reasons, "Oh, they're drunk. They've partied too hard. All it was an opportunity for those who followed Jesus, who were filled by his Spirit, who were turned upside down by this explosion of God's power, to say, no, 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 hear us out. God meant for this to happen. And at the end, it was their chance to point the whole neighborhood to Jesus. We long for our neighborhoods to change. We long for our city to be better. But are we willing to be the ones who God uses to see that happen? You see, because it's not just our neighborhood. This is God's neighborhood. And God isn't stopping with this neighborhood. God has plans for the whole cosmos. Changes in the heavens and on the earth. But it starts when we listen to Jesus and we let the Spirit fill us and take charge. I can't make the Spirit do anything. You can't make the Spirit do anything. But sadly, you and I can miss what the Spirit is doing when we opt for safety and familiarity. God is at work. His Spirit is alive. His Spirit is here and rests on us. And we are invited even today to open our hearts and our minds and let God lead us in ways we would never have imagined, to people we would never naturally go to create reputations we wouldn't actually choose, so that God can use us to turn us and this neighborhood upside down. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are your people gathered here. Soften our hearts, open our ears. Fill us with your Spirit, and may we willingly go and do and say what you need us to outside the safety of this place and this community, so that our lives in this city may be turned upside down for you.